The Power by Naomi Alderman. Read by Adjoa Ando.
The people came to Samuel and said, "Place a king over us, to guide us." And Samuel said to them, "This is what a king will do if he reigns over you. He'll take your sons and make them run with his chariots and horses. He'll dispose them however he wants. He'll make them commanders of thousands or captains of fifties. He'll send them to plough, to reap, to forge his weapons and his chariots. He'll take your daughters to make perfume for him, or cook his food, or do his baking. He'll take your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves. Oh, he'll take the very best of those and give them to his cronies. He'll take much more, a tenth of your grain and your wine. Those will go to his favourite aristocrats and faithful servants, your manservants and your maidservants, your best men, your donkeys. Yes, he'll take those for his own use. He'll take one-tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. On that day, believe me, you will cry out for relief from this king, the king you asked for. But the Lord will not answer you on that day." But the people would not listen to Samuel. They said, "No, give us a king over us, so that we can be like all the other nations. Give us a king to guide us and lead us into battle." When Samuel heard what the people said, he told it to the Lord. The Lord answered, "Give them a king." Samuel, chapter 1, verse 8.
The Men Writers Association, New Bevan Square, 27th of October. Dear Naomi, I finished the bloody book. I'm sending it to you with all its fragments and drawings in the hope that you'll give me some guidance, or at least that I'll finally hear the echo of it as I drop the pebble of this book down the well. You'll ask me first of all what it is. Not another dry volume of history was what I promised. 4 books in, I realise that no general reader can be bothered to wade through endless mounds of evidence. No one cares about the technicalities of dating finds and strata comparison. I've seen audiences' eyes go blank as I try to explain my research. So, what I've done here is a sort of hybrid piece. Something that I hope will appeal more to ordinary people. Not quite history, not quite a novel. A sort of novelisation of what archaeologists agree is the most plausible narrative. I've included some illustrations of archaeological finds that I hope are suggestive, but readers can, and I'm sure many will, skip over them. I have questions for you. Is it very shocking? Too hard to accept that anything of this sort could ever have been the case, no matter how far back in our history? Is there anything I can do to make it all seem more plausible? You know what they say about truth and the appearance of truth being opposites. I've put in some terrifically troubling stuff about Mother Eve, but we all know how these things work. Surely no one will be too distressed. Everyone claims to be an atheist now anyway, and all the miracles really are explicable. Anyway, sorry, I'll shut up now. I don't want to influence you, just read it and tell me what you think. I hope your own book's going well. I can't wait to read it when it's ready to be seen. Thank you so much for this. I am so grateful you could spare the time. Much love, Neil.
Nonsuch House, Lakevic. Dearest Neil, wow, what a treat. I've been flicking through the pages and I can't wait to dive in. I see you've included some scenes with male soldiers, male police officers, and boy crime gangs, just as you said you would, you saucy boy. I don't have to tell you how much I enjoy that sort of thing, I'm sure you remember. I'm practically on the edge of my seat. I'm very intrigued to see what you've done with the premise. It'll be a welcome relief from my own book, if I'm honest. Salim says, if the new one's not a masterpiece, he's leaving me for some woman who can write. I don't think he has any idea how these offhand remarks make me feel. Anyway, looking forward to this. I think I'd rather enjoy this world run by men you've been talking about. Surely a kinder, more caring and, dare I say it, more sexy world than the one we live in. More soon, my dear. Naomi.
The Power, a historical novel by Neil Adam Armon.
From the Book of Eve, verses 13 to 17. The shape of power is always the same. It is the shape of a tree. Root to tip, central trunk branching and rebranching, spreading wider in ever thinner searching fingers. The shape of power is the outline of a living thing straining outward, sending its fine tendrils a little further and a little further yet. This is the shape of rivers leading to the ocean, the trickles to rivulets, the rivulets to streams, the streams to torrents, the great power gathering and gushing, becoming mightier to hurl itself into the great marine might. It is the shape that lightning forms when it strikes from heaven to earth. The forked tear in the sky becomes a pattern on flesh or on the earth. These same distinctive patterns bloom in a block of acrylic when struck with electricity. We send electric currents down orderly runs of circuits and switches, but the shape that electricity wants to take is of a living thing, a fern, a bare branch. The strike point in the centre, the power seeking outward. This same shape grows within us, our inward trees of nerves and blood vessels. The central trunk, the pathways dividing and redividing, the signals carried from our fingers' ends to the spine, to the brain. We are electrical. The power travels within us as it does in nature. My children, nothing has happened here that has not been in accordance with a natural law. Power travels in the same manner between people. It must be so. People form villages, villages become towns, towns bow the knee to cities and cities to states. Orders travel from the centre to the tips. Results travel from the tips to the centre. The communication is constant. Oceans cannot survive without trickles, nor steadfast tree trunks without budlets, nor the enthroned brain without nerve endings. As above, so below. As on the outskirts, so at the very heart. It follows that there are two ways for the nature and use of human power to change. One is that an order might issue from the palace, a command unto the people saying, "It is thus." But the other, the more certain, the more inevitable, is that those thousand points of light should each send a new message. When the people change, the palace cannot hold. As it is written, "She cuppeth the lightning in her hand, she commandeth it to strike."